Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.
Welcome back to Classic Business. Now, when we talk about food insecurity in South Africa, we often think about things like droughts or rising input costs or load shedding's impact on coal chains. But there's another silent crisis threatening one of our most valuable agricultural sectors, the livestock industry. More than 6 years after foot and mouth disease first broke out outside South Africa's surveillance zone, outbreaks continue to flare up, disrupting trade and livelihoods and our export credibility. Well, to help us unpack why the issue persists and what we can learn from countries that have overcome it, and why collaboration, I think, is the absolute key, I'm joined by Roly van Rienen, who is a supply chain executive at Beefmaster Group. Roly, welcome to Classic Business. Let's just start by grounding listeners in the scale of the problem. How widespread is foot and mouth disease today, and why has it proven so difficult to contain after all these years?
Good day, Michael, and thank you very much for the opportunity to talk to you. The recorded cases currently indicate that foot and mouth is from Limpopo, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Gauteng, Northwest, Free State, and it was also last year within the Eastern Cape. No current cases there that I know of, or new outbreaks there currently. It's fairly wild, by meaning that only the Northern Cape and Western Cape is currently free of foot and mouth disease.
Wow. You've described it before as a problem of short-term choices coming at an extraordinary long-term cost. Can you just expand on that idea? What are some of those short-term decisions that may seem rational at the time, but end up fueling the persistence of the virus across the country?
Yeah, well, I think it's a matter of urgency. When you need to feed your kids, you're going to try and sell something. And if you don't have a market for it, you're going to move it to where that market is. And that's an unfortunate part within our industry. How that virus moves is through humans. That virus doesn't move on its own. We put wheels under it. We as people and we as industry. And if there's a better market in other areas, that virus is going to move towards that area, unless there's mitigating circumstances within industry practices to keep it out of new areas. That's the problem.
And when we look at the containment effort to date, where do you think the big gaps have been in trying to stop that spread to new areas?
I think the big gap has been that there's a lot of finger pointing going on. And in that industry, says now it's government's job to stop this virus from moving, and government needs to have protocols in place. If the industry doesn't collaborate with government and work together and move animals, let's say, illegally at night, you can't do much about it. I mean, if everybody does not comply, and if the majority of industry finds ways to circumvent government regulations, it's not going to stop.
If we look at the economic and reputational toll here, I mean, South Africa's red meat industry is a key export earner. It's a vital rural employer. What has the continued presence of FMD meant for farmers and for feedlots like Beefmasters and for South Africa's export reputation more broadly?
I think on the export market, it has definitely made certain reductions in and also damaged our reputation to a certain extent. I think the bigger thing is within our own country, if we look inside, is that we as industry have to put mitigating circumstances in place. You can't buy insurance for this, but you can have mitigating circumstances. And that always comes at a cost. Since we're in business, we're not doing anything for free because we employ people and we need to keep the business stable and functional. So that cost is in the end just passed down to the consumer.
Yeah, and we saw the president today asking retailers to try and contain food inflation, but often it's a result of these decisions that are taken much higher up the value chain. And I guess, you know, it isn't just about economics, it's about confidence. You know, when foreign buyers see repeated foot and mouth disease alerts, they start to question our ability to manage animal health risk effectively. How much damage has this done to South Africa's standing in global markets?
Well, I think it's just eliminated us in certain markets whereby then our competitors throughout the world then had access again to those markets, or at least regain some of their market share. We have a very unique product. It's not directly competitive against the, let's call it, the higher valued US and Australian product. But then again, there is some other products from the South American side which are of, let's say, a lower value than ours. Ours product is basically in the middle, and we had a very unique market share within that. And now that we don't have access to those countries, those other suppliers can really take up that market share within that. That has definitely caused some concern and also some damage, as you stated.
Yeah, yeah. If we were to look at lessons from abroad, I mean, Brazil's obviously an important one. And earlier this year, the World Organization for Animal Health declared Brazil FMD-free without vaccination. A remarkable milestone that. What did Brazil do right that South Africa hasn't yet managed to replicate?
Well, I think Brazil, for one, had a plan on the table, a workable plan, and understood that this was not going to be eradicated within a year or two, within a season. It was a long-term strategy. And Brazil, the country, was compartmentalized into vaccinating zones and non-vaccinated zones. And also the movement between those zones was controlled. And we don't have any of that in place yet. And if it took them a decade or more to get to even be free without vaccination, it's going to take us a bit longer.
Part of the Brazilian story is also about tough policy choices. I mean, sustained vaccination programs, strict movement control, strong public-private coordination. What would it take for South Africa to adopt similar discipline?
Michael, I can't answer that question without insulting somebody. It's a bit of a problem, so let me skip that one.
Well, sometimes people need to be insulted, really, for things to change. I mean, a government has recently set up an FMD task team with private sector participation. Are you seeing any signs from this effort that give you encouragement, or is it still too early to tell if this kind of coordination and accountability is really going to move the needle?
In all honesty, the task teams, the meetings, or the whatever you want to call it, there's a lot of that going on. I see very little work being done. And that's part of that problem. We will unfortunately have to get the boots on the ground and make those tough decisions, enforce movement control, make the tough decisions about protocols on vaccination. That's unfortunately what's going to have to happen, but we can't keep on talking about it. There is no real decision maker, that being the problem, bigger problem.
So just lastly, I mean, when we talk here about the bigger picture and food insecurity, obviously the conversation tends to focus on affordability and supply, but clearly animal disease control is a big part of that equation too. What would you say to those in the sector or in government who still see FMD as someone else's problem rather than a collective national challenge?
Accountability, I think maybe it comes down to that. In that there's no real accountability involved in the situation. Look, animals being affected by FMD are still safe for human consumption. No, there's no problem there. So if we look at food security within that, it does create a bit of a problem in that the production is affected, that people don't necessarily want to invest in the value chain of producing beef because of the economic risks involved in that. They don't have that reassurance where they are supported within that. Now, if I bring that to government side, if we want to see people still employed within the agriculture value chain, we're going to have to protect the industries within those value chains. Otherwise, people are not going to invest in it, and people won't be employed within that sector. That's the big risk in that.
Really, Van Rienen, thank you very much. Supply chain executive at Beefmaster for unpacking the high stakes of food insecurity here on Classic Business.
Classic Business with Michael Avery, sponsored by Alex Forbes, for insight, advice, and impact.